And good morning and welcome to the Drive Time edition of Lambda Weekly, the world's longest running gay and lesbian radio show for the whole family. I'm David Taffet and I am here in the studio with Patty Fink. Laurent had to run his 2-year-old off to daycare or is having the, she's cool. Okay, she's okay?
Yep.
Good. Okay, well, it is 7 a.m., 6 a.m. if you're not participating in daylight savings time like I'm not, because it's much too early. It is still dark outside. For those new listeners, we've been a KNON Sunday show since 1983, and we love our new drive time, don't we, Patty?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, glad to be here.
Delighted to be here and waking up. I got up 4:30 this morning. Oh, God, these hours.
But we've been on the air, actually, with KNON since 1983. Mm-hmm. So we're the oldest, longest-running gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender radio show anywhere in the country.
And today we're not just an LGBT show. We are an LGBTA show.
Yes, we are.
The
yes,
A
are.
Is for allies. And our ally who's here today is Connie Marshall. She's fairly new to Dallas. She wanted to join a straight spouses support network group, and there wasn't one. So she started one.
That's the kind of spunk I like. And she begged. She brought us stuff in the studio. I'm so excited.
Right.
Thank you, Connie.
We already love Connie. She is campaigning to be our favorite guest, and she's winning.
Leading the pack.
Welcome, Connie.
Thank you.
When you first contacted me, you sent a note and said you're trying to start this group. And the straights, I can't say this at 7 a.m., the Straight Spouses Support Network, the SSSN, is a group nationwide that supports the spouse of a gay person who's come out.
That's correct.
But one of the things that struck me when you wrote to me at first was you said, now, this is not a homophobic group. This is not a group. We're not gay bashing here. We're, you know, but tell us your story, because we knew that. We've had people from these types of groups that have been here in Dallas on our show before. And you know, I guess they were people who, they started the group, they helped a few people, and they moved on with their lives, and nobody stayed around with the group in order to help other people. Tell us your story, though.
Okay. I was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. In fact, I've never lived anywhere but San Antonio up until I moved to Dallas 3 years ago. Met my husband through a mutual friend in college, and we started off with a fantastic friendship, which then sort of evolved from there. He was from Iowa, a good Midwestern boy raised by a dad who was a plumber and a mother who was a stay-at-home mom with 5 kids.
And that was before Iowa had same-sex marriage.
Way before Iowa had same-sex marriage, exactly. We married in the 70s and had a couple of wonderful children in the 80s. And we were, I felt like, in a very, very happy couple, very involved in community and all kinds of things, and things were going really quite well for us, and I couldn't have been happier. Then in 2001, our older son was getting married, and so it was a stressful year, and I began to notice that his behavior, my ex's behavior, was a little erratic and a little strange, but I didn't really think too much about it because I knew the stress of the marriage of our son was, you know, taking a toll, and sort of we were having to step into the empty nest, and there was a great deal of sadness about that, and, you know, just the next chapter in your life.
It's so again, just one of those things that over a lifetime together, 30 years, stuff
right.
happens.
Life
exactly.
happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Our son and his wife went on a 2-week cruise for their honeymoon, and the night that they returned from their cruise, we went to their apartment, and we helped them unpack, and we helped them open some wedding gifts, and had a great evening with them, and welcomed them back, and heard about their honeymoon, and we went home, and I was exhausted and went to bed at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and about midnight, he came in and turned the light on and said, "We need to talk." And since he was usually not the instigator of problems, I knew this must be big. So I woke from a very deep sleep and sat up on the bed And he said three sentences, which will forever be burned into my brain. I will never, ever forget the three sentences. The first thing he said was, "I need you to let me go." I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought he meant go to the store. I had no idea what he meant. The second sentence was, "We need a divorce." And at that point, when I say the room started spinning, I mean it literally. I couldn't even focus. And the third thing he said was, "I'm gay." And I literally could not believe my ears. I was absolutely bowled over. He then explained that he had made this decision to come out in the summer of 2000. He knew it was time in his life to come out. And the reason his behavior had been so erratic the past year was that he was coming to terms with this. He was making all the arrangements. He was basically making the decision to let me know and to leave. That explained a lot about his behavior. Unfortunately, what happened at that point was he told me on a Thursday, and by the following weekend, he was gone. And that was extremely, extremely hard for me, because I think probably, you know, what he wanted was, he just wanted to get out. he needed to get out and avoid as much confrontation as possible. So that was a very, very, very difficult time for me, not so much with his coming out, but the manner in which he did it.
Mm-hmm. Would it have been easier for you if, when he first started thinking about coming out, not thinking about the fact that he was gay, because that's something that he had lived with his whole life. When he first started thinking about coming out, would it have been easier for you had he discussed this with you then?
You know, I've asked myself that 1,000 times. I've talked to my therapist about it. I have mulled that over a lot. And because it didn't happen, I don't know. All I can do is speculate. My hunch is, if he had come to me and said, "Here's the deal. How are we going to deal with it?" I think it would have felt so different. Mm-hmm. It would have felt so different. I think that the outcome would have been exactly the same. We would have divorced. He would have moved on. The outcome would have been identical. But I would have felt a part of that decision, mm-hmm. and I think it would have felt very, very, very different.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite possible, too, that he... by choosing his method, and you know, it's all great in hindsight, and I'm sure he mulled a lot of different ways to do it. I mean, a lot of people, it's a very difficult thing to do, especially in a relationship.
Exactly.
But that, you know, he was probably not thinking clearly at the time, but that's the way it came out. But he missed out on a lot of perhaps some support that you might have been able to offer him going through that process himself.
Correct.
You know, so he might have been fearful. But at the same time, he was cutting himself off from that
right.
moment of maybe having some support.
I had a real good friend in San Antonio who was a gay man, and he was one of the first people I talked to after this, because I knew that he had been married before, too. And we had a long talk about it. And he told me that when he came out to his wife, that he stuck around for 8 months to make sure their house sold, she found a new place to live, she was at peace with it, you know, and to me that just felt really different. That just felt really different, because if you claim to have loved someone, as my ex did, you don't just discard them like an old shoe and kind of walk out because you're so scared.
And this type of a divorce is so different than most.
It exactly.
You hadn't been fighting.
No.
While you were saying erratic behavior, it didn't cause turmoil, and you didn't go through periods where you weren't speaking to each other, did you?
No.
So it's a lot different than most end of marriage situations. Now, you said, though, that he didn't usually start the conversation, so you knew it was something big. During that time where his behavior was a little bit different and you noticed that, did you ever start a conversation with him?
I kind of did, but let me explain something else. That he had decided to go see a therapist during that time, and the therapist determined that he might be possibly bipolar and he might be depressed. And he shared that with me, and consequently was put on some medication that they spent quite a bit of time adjusting. that's where my thinking process was. My thinking process was, he's acting this way because of this. They're working on the medication. And once that gets leveled out, I'm going to have the man I love back again. And so I didn't really want to push it because I felt like, you know, that was kind of his issue.
We are addressing it.
Right,
kind of how
right, exactly.
And it was
exactly.
Just in a different way.
So what is it like today? I mean, you have children together, you have, you must have some contact. Is this, I mean, if it's a touchy subject, you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
No, not at all. I don't mind talking about it.
Wrong.
You would be wrong. You're right that we have children together. We do have two wonderful, wonderful children. We have a son who is actually the reason I moved to the Dallas area, who is a wonderful, wonderful person. We have another wonderful son who lives in L.A. that, you know, we could not have been, I believe, more hands-on parents. Our goal was to raise two fabulous contributors to society, and I believe that's what we've done. These two young men are fabulous. They're now 30 and 33 years old and are two of the kindest, sweetest people you would ever hope to meet. Unfortunately, my relationship with my ex is not good these days, and I believe that I have my theory. My therapist has a theory, and other gay people I've talked to have a theory, and that theory is all one and the same, and that is that I feel like he has a lot of guilt over the manner in which he left, that if he can make me the bad guy, then that makes him not be the bad guy. And so consequently, over the past 10 years, as we have tried to remain friends, I will extend an olive branch, and then if I don't cross the T or dot the I the right way, and it can be just about that inconsequential, he chooses to not be in relationship with me. And months will pass or a year will pass, and I'll try again, and the olive branch just gets knocked out of my hand.
Wow.
Does he have any relationship with his children, with your children?
Does he have? Oh yeah, he has a very good relationship.
Okay, family events, Thanksgiving, Christmas, any other?
Doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Okay. Now, when he told you that he was leaving, what were his plans? What was he going to do?
His dream was always to live in New York City. It was such a strong dream that there were several times during the marriage that I said, let's do it, let's go. You know, it would really be pulling up a lot of roots, and, you know, was it a good place to raise children, all that kind of stuff. But he was so enamored with the city that that's where he wanted to go desperately. And so that is, in fact, where he landed, and that's where he is to this day. He, as I said, had, you know, a week and a half later, the U-Haul pulled up, and he, you know, piled up all the things that he wanted, and he drove to New York. He had already made arrangements for where to stay.
Now, Patty, you're the expert in this. The U-Haul pulled up. Isn't that more of a lesbian
thing? That's a lesbian thing, yeah. It is.
So maybe there was some confusion there. But he had already planned, when you said he had everything planned, he had planned what he wanted from the house, what he needed.
Yeah, the day after he came out, literally, I'm not exaggerating, the day after he came out to me, he handed me a typed, alphabetized list of all the possessions he wanted in the house. You know,
wow.
The green couch, the red carpet, that piece of artwork. And to say that I was numb would be quite the understatement. But
you're probably still reeling from the three sentences.
I'm sorry?
You were probably still reeling from the three sentences.
Oh.
You know.
Oh.
Did he rapid fire those to you? I mean, here's three different concepts coming on. Or did he tell you one thing and pause for you to discuss?
It was pretty rapid fire.
Wow.
It was pretty rapid fire. Yeah.
Well, we know that people come out, it's a process, of course. And until
right.
we come out to all 6 billion people on Earth, it's a constant process of deciding whether you're gonna come out or not. But it's not unusual for gay people, gay men, lesbians, to come out much later in life. And it's true for bisexual and transgender people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they may have had feelings very early on, which is really the first stage of coming out. But it's interesting that he had already made so many decisions before approaching you about it, which probably means he's come out to someone else or maybe quite a few others before he...
He said to me that I was the first person that he had told. Wow. And I believed him at the time. However, I have since decided that our dearest friends in the world were a lesbian couple who lived in Houston. And when I say the dearest friends in the world, I mean these people were our dearest friends in the world. We went on vacations together. They had one child, we had our two. We'd even stipulated in each other's wills that if we were to die in a common accident, that they were to raise our children and we were to raise their child. That we were very, very, very close. And after he came out, I received an email from this couple saying, "We are choosing to not have any relationship with you any longer," which was almost as hard as losing him. It was,
wow,
it was absolutely the most painful thing. But my hunch is they were involved in his decision.
To you or to both of you? Just
me.
To you. To you.
Me.
Have you spoken to them since?
No.
Oh,
they will have
really?
They will not respond to me
really?
At all.
Isn't that interesting?
My hunch is, though, that I think he probably came out to them probably the year before, if not more, mm-hmm. and they talked him through the whole process. That's a hunch on my part, but it's a pretty strong hunch.
Well, it sounds like he was processing that with somebody.
Absolutely, because I know him too well that he didn't. This didn't all come just from him.
I mean, otherwise you'd have to go and live in another city or a little secluded island and think it through,
right.
Because it's you have to bounce it off somebody somewhere along the way.
Right. And that is kind of interesting because not all gay people, but a lot that I know tend to be on your side, especially people who've come out young, because our not understanding is with the person who waits till they're older to come out. And I'm not talking about any kind of anger. I'm just saying, people say to me all the time, and I'm in my extremely late 30s.
extremely.
People who have been in your former husband's situation, they'll say to me, "Oh, well, you have to understand how hard it was to come out in the 70s. And my reaction to that is, no.
Not really.
Because... was it more difficult? Are circumstances different now? Are there more gay people who are out? Are there more support groups? Are there more rights? Are there more everything? Sure. But to me, it just wasn't an option. It's who I was. It's who I've always been. And not coming out, to me, wasn't an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand your side of it more than I do his, although from talking to people, a number of guests that we've had on who have come out later in life, I've learned from them mm-hmm. their side of it. I didn't have the religious. I didn't have the. We were religious, mm-hmm. but not a religion that.
And there really are a lot of pressers. I think that pressures.
It's early.
Well, and I think in his case, and I think he's pretty textbook mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, and that is when you know early on that you're gay, but you're very frightened to come out for whatever reason it is, that what happens if you think, okay, I'm going to get married and it will go away. Okay, I'm going to have kids and it'll go away.
I'll do all the things society expects me to do.
Oh, I'm going to work 80 hours a week and it'll go away, and it doesn't go away.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Connie Marshall. She's fairly new to Dallas. She's been here 3 years. Started, or is in the process of starting a Straight Spouses Support Network group. We're going to talk more to Connie right after we take a break.
Small business owners, KNON has partnered with CBeyond, an IT services and communication provider offering local and long-distance calling, conferencing, high-speed internet, mobile, BlackBerry, broadband, laptop access, voicemail, email, web hosting, fax to email, data backup, cloud servers, and more. KNON thanks CBeyond for all of these support services. CBeyond donates services to KNON based on referrals. For more information, the email address is KNON@CBeyond.net. That's KNON@CBeyond.net.
If Your garage is getting a little cramped for space. Upsize it by moving out that old car you don't need anymore. The KNON Vehicle Donation Program is here to take your old car, truck, or motorcycle that's cluttering your garage. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at KNON.org to make your donation. Our representative will come out, pick up your vehicle, and leave you with a cleaner garage. They'll handle the paperwork, and most importantly, your donation will go to support great community radio. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And good morning and welcome back to Lambda Weekly, the drive time edition of Lambda Weekly. We're the new talk show that has been with the station for 28 years. We've been a Sunday show. We're now a morning drive time show, and we are just delighted to get up at 4 in the morning so that we can be here in time, aren't we, Patty?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm Dave Taffet, Patty Fink. And I have been co-host now for about 13 years, something like
very
that.
Very long time.
There is a fundraiser for KNON. It's coming up this Saturday. On Saturday, former Texas Agriculture Commissioner Jim Hightower will be speaking at Sons of Herman Hall for a dinner. It's a fundraiser for the morning talk shows. To get your tickets, go to KNON.org, and I hope to see you there and meet some of our new listeners. Dinner's $25. If you want to go in just to hear Mr. Hightower, it's $10. You going?
I'm going.
You are going. Good. Okay, so you can meet Patty and Aaron, me and bringing a friend of mine. His name is Shep, and we're going to have a good time at talking to Jim Hightower. Our guest today is Connie Marshall. She's starting a new Straight Spouses Support Network group. What's interesting is just this week I saw TV Land announce that they're going to start airing a new show in June. It's called Happily Divorced, starring Fran Drescher. And she's going to star as a florist dealing with dating after finding out that her husband's gay. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I knew there was a reason we scheduled you this week.
She'll have to tell me how she gets dates. That's the problem.
we'll watch the show. And you know, that is one thing. Dating after 30 years being married to one person, things aren't the same as they were in the 70s.
That would be quite the understatement. Yes, exactly.
And I understand that because I had been with a partner for 14 years. We met in 1979, which was pre-AIDS, and he left very much the same way your husband left. I mean, it was a, can we sit down and talk? I said, sure. He said, yeah, I think it's over. And, you know, that was the first, and I will, like you said, this just blindsided me, and to me
was he really straight?
No, he did not. He did not go in.
Really, I'm straight.
But he, you know, it's over, and I'm thinking, what's over? Just like you were thinking, okay, you know, I'm leaving for the store for the, you know, and within 3 weeks he had bought a new house, moved out, took the dogs, took the. You know.
I think it's a completely different circumstance, David. But you know,
it is different circumstances, but similar in that we met pre-AIDS. All of a sudden, I'm dating at the age of 40, in the age of AIDS. Whole new world. And it's difficult. And you say, how do you meet people all of a sudden? Dating in your 20s is different than dating in your 40s, or like some of us in our extremely late 40s.
Or 60s.
Extremely late 40s. so how did you even start putting your life back together?
It was to say that 2001 was the year from hell would be quite the understatement. In San Antonio, I was the owner of three restaurants. I was very much a foodie. I loved what I did. It was in my blood. I had been in that business for about 25 years. And I loved it. I was pretty much the primary breadwinner of the family. I had never bought any red ink, ever. To say that it was highly successful would be an understatement.
And San Antonio is a great place to eat.
It is. It is. And I hope I was part of that culture. But I absolutely loved what I did. When my ex came out, that was in late July, fast forward 6 weeks and 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, it was like they shut the faucets off in the restaurant business. Not only me, but a lot of people lost their shirts. And that is what in fact happened. To say that I was not making very good business decisions at that point would also be an understatement. I just kept thinking it was going to snap back. It was going to, you know, one more month, it'll be better. One more month, it'll be better. One more month, it'll be better. And it just never got better. The economy was just, as you know, the economy bottomed. And the number one thing on the list when the economy is bad is people stop eating out.
Sure.
And so putting my life back together was twofold, one from a business standpoint and one from my marriage, which had unfortunately unraveled. So it was a very, very, very difficult time. I will say I had the help of an amazing therapist in San Antonio, someone I had actually seen off and on for quite a while. And I have to just, as a side note, just for fun, have to tell you, her first name is Gay. We had lots of laughs over that. But she was an amazing woman and very, very, very helpful in helping me sort of move on with my life. So,
and it's interesting. It would be very easy, and I think a lot of people are surprised when you're not. It would be very easy to be bitter about this and to be angry, and I'm sure you went through those stages, but to then resent your husband, to hate him, to hate everything about gay people, to withdraw, but you haven't done that. I'm sure the therapist helped you not do those things because none of them are productive. Mm-hmm. But is that just your personality to not do those things or what?
You know, I don't know. I'm a very resilient person. I had polio when I was young, mm-hmm. and a lot of the doctors that I've seen over the years basically said a lot of polio victims are extremely resilient people. They are very headstrong, and they, you know, just are who they are. So I don't know if that's part of it or just my personality. I was raised by wonderful parents who, you know, were the kind of people that just basically said, you can be anything you want to be, do anything you want to do, you know, and gave me a lot of confidence. So that helped a whole lot. I knew that being bitter and angry was really not going to help anybody. I won't say that revelation came, you know, day one. It's a grieving process. Mm-hmm. It's like a death. It's very, very much like a death. And
yeah, the man you married really wasn't there in front of you.
Yeah.
It was someone
different.
Yeah,
exactly.
Different.
And a lot of, you know, a lot of questions. You know, was the whole marriage a farce? Was it, you know, was this just a convenience for him? Where there's, you know, just a whole lot of things. I will tell you that many, many friends would come to me and say, did you know? And my response after a while, after I'd sort of come to terms with things, my response was, no. And that's the God's honest truth. I did not know, but it really did answer a lot of questions for me. Suddenly, the two and two that was not adding up to four was now adding up to four. I began to sort of look at things much more clearly and go, get that now.
I would think after 30 years, you pretty much know your partner, but when there's that piece that's missing, that's an aha, okay, that
exactly.
fills all of that in.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think, too, oftentimes as gay people coming out, for many people who are experiencing it for the first time, particularly late in life, like we, you know, we counsel folks, you know, don't go home to Thanksgiving and make that your coming out experience, mm-hmm. you know, because it's just going to be fraught with problems. But we often forget that the people we're coming out to are just hearing this news, and it's taken us a long time to get to that place where we're going to share that information, perhaps. I mean, nowadays I come out to people all the time without really thinking about it, but I've been out for a long time.
But you're also not coming out to people who you're close to, because the
right.
people that
but
you're close
to. Right,
but,
you know, oftentimes when kids come out to their parents, mm-hmm. and it's a real, you know, they've thought about it and they've worked up to this moment, but the people that are hearing the news haven't had an opportunity to prepare.
Exactly. That's exactly
we
right.
need to remember that they need as much time, or perhaps even longer, than we took
right.
to make that moment happen.
Right.
We really forget.
I remember I was at a PFLAG meeting when PFLAG here in Dallas was just forming, and one mother showed up. The meetings were like on Monday or Tuesday, and she said that on Friday her son had come out to her, and he was still a teen at the time, And she said, you know, I agonized all weekend. I didn't know what to do. I don't want him to think that I'm not going to accept him. And he withdrew, and we were arguing some over the weekend. And I just want to know what to do. So I said, and we were broken up. They used to have one speaker, and then they'd have somebody who... And then we'd break up into small groups. And so I said to her, he just came out to you on Friday? And she said, yeah. And I said, you're here today? And she said, yeah. And I said, tell him to back off. And tell him I said, it's okay. He should back off. That he's had, I don't care how much time, I don't care how young he is, he still has thought about it. And you're just hearing this. Mm-hmm. And your being here is the most loving thing that you can do. And I honestly believe that. Because like you were saying, he had time to process it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the same thing with your husband. Now, you've belonged to these straight spouse support networks before.
Right. I formed one in San Antonio.
Okay. And mm-hmm. how many people actually came through that group?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the group in San Antonio... probably only met maybe a half a dozen times, and what I found was that there were probably six or eight of us, I would guess. It wasn't particularly huge, but what I found was that it was the majority of them were just really, really, really angry women, very angry women,
and it was mostly women.
It was all women.
Wow.
Most of the time, it's a 10-to-1 ratio. Usually, this is one man to every 10 women. Certainly, it happens to men. It just happens a lot more to women, and women are more likely to reach out for help anyway. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't feel very constructive. I just felt like, you know, most of them came in with the preconceived notion that this was a choice. Why did he choose this over me? He's going to hell. You know, that kind of thinking that I just couldn't wrap my head around. And not that I tried to talk them in or out of anything, but just say, you know, have you thought about this? Have you looked at it this way? There was a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah. Before we forget, you are forming a group in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be at North Haven United Methodist Church.
Correct.
Do you have a date for it yet?
Yes. Our first meeting is going to be on the 12th of April, which is a Tuesday. And from then on, it will be the second Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock at North Haven United Methodist Church, which is at 11211 Preston, between Royal and Forest.
Okay. And they're a very supportive group.
That's where PFLAG meets.
Right.
Also.
Right. PFLAG
exactly.
meets there, and a large number of their congregation are gay and lesbian. They're a beneficiary of Black Tie Dinner.
Exactly.
Wonderful church that is very supportive of everybody.
Right.
It's a very, very safe space, to be sure.
A very, very, very safe place. Right,
now,
exactly.
I know that over the years there's been a lot of spouses who've joined PFLAG, really because there was a vacuum of support for spouses in at whatever time they needed it. Have you talked with a lot of people in PFLAG or had any
contact? Actually, was
with
at
them?
The meeting last month. I had asked if I'd contacted and them to see if I could come just hand out some brochures, and they invited me to come and just do a very short little 5-minute blurb, which I did. But then I was told that I would be invited back again to be kind of the main speaker, and so that will happen hopefully down the road. So yeah,
good. Now, with getting back to the group and how other people will react to it, the point of this group, really, nationwide, is to help people get beyond. But it's not as a gay bashing group, which is one of the things
Absolutely.
That you had pointed out
Absolutely.
When you first contacted us. The point of the group really is to be supportive and understand why these things happen and help you move beyond mm-hmm. and get your life mm-hmm. going again. Did you find that some of the people in the San Antonio group that you had formed who were bitter about it and had the religious objections, that they were actually having a harder time moving beyond because of the anger and because of the religious objections, and maybe even having felt violated? And what are some of those feelings that some people
have? Well, you know, that's just my personal opinion. It's not really based on anything.
Right.
But, yes, that's definitely what I felt. I just felt like they were really stuck in that anger and that they were not going to really ever move on until they maybe were a little more enlightened. That's really just kind of my perception of what was going on.
And we've had some guests on over the years who've been in your situation, and had a few of them had some very, very positive experiences, and were still very, very close to their spouses. But I think one of the things that may have occurred there was that it happened, that they went through it together. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, go to the edge of the cliff and everybody jump. They went through it together, and they were still, involved with their kids together, mm-hmm. and such. But we did have one person who was on who was so supportive of her husband that they shared a home together with his new partner at one
traveled
point.
Traveled together.
Did a lot of right. They were remained tremendous.
There are actually people who remain married.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't
so
get
so
it,
a
but
whole,
they do.
The whole gamut of experiences.
Right. Right.
And exactly. You say you don't get it. Because why?
Sex. I guess I just don't
okay,
get how
set
that would work.
And on the morning show for us, that is the first time we've actually used that word.
Uh oh.
Okay,
I'll be banned.
Who did it.
I just think it would be really, really awkward and hard to do. Uh-huh. But again, when my husband came out, our kids were adults. Mm-hmm. When this happens to families where they have young children, I can't imagine the impact that would have. And so under those circumstances, maybe it would work. I don't know.
Had he told, he said that you were the first person that he told. So he told your two sons when?
The next day.
Oh, okay. So
the next day.
That was part of his plan that, okay, checklist.
Oh, it was all planned out.
Checklist you.
Check.
Okay,
right.
So exactly. Before he, before the U-Haul left for New York City.
Right. Exactly.
Spoke to each of them.
Exactly.
And one of them was still in the house, wasn't he?
Well, yes, but very, very shortly. He was actually planning to move to L.A. like 2 weeks later. So, we were going from a family of four to a family of two. Mm-hmm. When we really, really were going to be in the empty nest, mm-hmm. And suddenly it was a family of one.
Wow.
In about 3 weeks' time.
And that actually is one of those things that really must have made it even more difficult for you. Because one person leaving, and I'm talking about a child going off to college, mm-hmm. a child mm-hmm. doing some, that's difficult. But losing three
right.
at the same time is...
Within about a one-month span.
Yeah, it has to
right.
be devastating.
Right.
Just for little things, and you don't even think about these things, you kind of think... You do something, and then it's like, I need to go tell, he's not here.
yeah.
And everybody goes through that kind of thing when you lose one person, but losing three, it's, this house is bigger than I thought it was. This house is like, and those kinds of things had
right.
to have gone on.
And I was, I was faced with having to then sell our house mm-hmm. by myself, sell his car by myself. And sort of, all these thousand loose ends had to be tied up by myself.
Mm-hmm. And run a business.
And run a business. Three businesses at the same time.
By yourself. Right. Was he working in the business also?
No. Well, a little off and on, but no.
But he was not part of it.
Right.
That. Okay. We need to take a break.
Oh.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink, and our guest today is Connie Marshall from the Straight Spouse Support Network. She's starting a new group that's going to meet at North Haven United Methodist Church. Their first meeting is April 12th, and if you have any more details, we'll put it on
yes.
our website.
Great.
And I'm sure you'll see more things in the paper about it. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Do you need free help with your taxes? I'm State Senator Royce West to tell you about United Way's free tax preparation services. IRS-certified tax preparers will ensure individuals or families who earned less than $50,000 last year receive the highest refund possible. Sites open through April in convenient locations. They're open days, evenings, and weekends. To locate the free United Way tax preparation site near you, simply dial 211. Thank you.
KNON is proud to present another KNON Barbecue and Blues benefit event this Sunday, March 27th, at The Bone in Deep Ellum, featuring the blues stylings of Andrea Dawson and Carrie Lepi, with special guest Mr. Andrew Jr. Boy Jones backing up these two fine blues divas. Mama Faye's Barbecue and Home Cooked Food will be serving up delicious barbecue plates with hot links, brisket, chicken, ribs, and sides. This is an early event with doors at 5 p.m. and music at 6.
Tickets are available now for $8 at KNON.org. Bill's Records in Dallas, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, or at The Bone, located at 2724 Elm Street in DeBella. Just look for the big KNON painted on the side of the building. That's Barbecue and Blues. This Sunday, March 27th, beginning at 5 p.m. at The Bone with Andrea Dawson, Carrie Lepot, Andrew Jr. Boy Jones, and complimentary barbecue place from Mama Faye.
To the money as soon as it was made.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Yeah. And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. This Saturday, former Agriculture Commissioner Jim Hightower is going to be speaking at Sons of Herman Hall for a dinner fundraiser for Morning Talk. You can get your tickets at KNON.org, and I hope to see you there. I'll be there. Patty will be there. We'd love to meet some of our new and some of our Sunday listeners who followed us to Wednesday morning. God bless them that they're getting out, but I've had people tell me, oh, no, I'm listening.
And you can also download podcasts of our show from iTunes or from our website at lambdaweekly.com.
Right, or friends of yours who are out of town who you want them to listen to Lambda Weekly, we're streamed live at KNON.org. The dinner for Jim Hightower is $25, $10 just to come in, just to hear Mr. Hightower speak. Starts at 6, I believe.
Aye.
It's up there. It's up there on the bulletin board. It's 6 p.m. Yes. Yeah. Starts at 6 p.m. So I'll see you, Patty, on Saturday
night.
It's
my birthday, actually, Saturday.
Well,
so
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And our guest is Connie Marshall. She is from the Straight Spouse Support Network. It's starting here in Dallas. We've had them before, but she's going to start a group that she's going to keep going. She's committed to this. with spouses who aren't bitter, who...
right.
Prerequisite.
The group is going to meet at North Haven United Methodist Church, which is up on Preston Road, 7 p.m., April 12th. We were talking a little bit about, and I don't know that we ever really got to it, how do you get going? How do you start your life over again when your two sons have just moved out of the house, your husband has just moved out of the house, it all happened within a three-week period, and all of a sudden, you're not 20 and dating, you're...
At the time, 50.
Over 40 and dating. She keeps using those words that I just don't use on this show.
They burn David's ears.
50,
60. Yeah.
So, but how do you just start your life over again?
Well, I don't know if I've got the answer to that. For me, part of what helped immensely was I had an incredible group of friends that, were incredibly supportive. In fact, the church that I attended in San Antonio was much like North Haven. It was a reconciling congregation where we had a lot of gay and lesbians. And the night after my husband came out, he had gone to Houston to see friends, and the first people who came to my house that night were two dear friends, Dave and David, who have been a couple for many, many years, and they brought a lemon meringue pie, and they sat on either side of me on my couch and just held my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant the world to me, that I had such a wonderful support system with lots and lots and
so
lots of people.
So number one is friends.
I'm sorry?
Number one is friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then coming to the realization that part of what is real important, which a lot of the information at the Straight Spouse Network talks about that I know I felt, and that is, this is not my fault. This is not my fault. And it is part of what I was feeling in particularly the latter part of the marriage. I just kept thinking, what is wrong? What is wrong with me? Am I too fat? Am I too skinny? Am I too tall? Am I too short? Am I too this? Why can't I fix this? And that was one of the questions that got answered immediately. It was like, oh, okay, I get it now.
It's not you.
It's not me. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge relief from my shoulders to just think, okay, this is not about me, about something being wrong with me, that he either no longer finds me attractive or that, we just don't have what we had at one point in time. It's been, getting back into the dating scene has been, let's say, challenging. Mm-hmm. At best, because I do find that the majority of good guys that are out there, one, either tend to be married or they're gay. One of the two.
The old adage.
Yeah, so, you know, where do you go from there? Living in the Bible Belt has been challenging as well, because I consider myself very, very left-wing. I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I believe very strongly in, you know, women's rights and gay and lesbian rights and the death penalty and all those kind of hot-button topics, mm-hmm. Which I find in this conservative stretch of the country is there are just not a lot of men out there that are that think like I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always find that my best dating advice for anybody is to do what you enjoy and what you're passionate about, and you're going to find somebody who's passionate about the same
right.
things.
Right.
And that's at least you get to meet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you would think that the Straight Spouse Support Network would be a good place to meet other people, but like you said, it's mostly women. It is mostly
right.
women. So
right.
That isn't necessarily the right place.
So any men out there, contact me.
Well, do you find people that you've worked with in the past, for say, in San Antonio, and I know it's true for many people in PFLAG, that they seek out a therapist, like a professional therapist, to assist along the way, too, in addition to friends and support networks. Is that something you recommend? I mean, I would. I think therapy's great any time in life.
Yeah. I mean, therapy has never been an issue with me at all, as far as, oh, gosh, am I airing my dirty laundry? Is this going to be embarrassing? No. If I had cancer, I would go see a doctor. Why would I not go see somebody to help me with emotional problems? And particularly after you have been helped as much as I feel like I've been helped over the years, you know, this person that I saw in San Antonio was, you know, she was one of those kind of people that, you know, the light bulbs would just go blaring on about things that I'd never even thought about. Not so much with this issue, but just other issues. So absolutely. And I've never understood the resistance. I've never understood why people are so embarrassed or horrified or I'm not going to do that. I just don't get it.
See, and I've recommended counseling for Patty for years.
And she just won't go.
Oh, I go all the time, though. But we're not living in a Woody Allen, you know, movie where he has an analyst standing by mm-hmm. in a regular appointment for decades. You know, I mean, but I think it's perfectly normal and a positive, healthy thing to do is to go seek out a therapist and go for as long as it takes to really deal with issues. Step away,
I think,
and then if something else comes up, you go back.
And I think the key that's really important, and this could be why people are hesitant, you got to find the right one, and you got to find the one that you click with. If you've got some, you know, buffoon who, you know, believes in restorative therapy for, you know, your homosexuality, that's probably not somebody you're going to be comfortable
with. And those were our guests last week.
Were they?
Who had gone through that.
At a camp.
Well, they called it gay camp,
yeah.
Which is where they met and fell in love.
Right.
But which was perfect. But
so they weren't fixed.
No,
right.
Not only weren't they fixed, but since the stories have come out about them in the news, just a few weeks ago, the people who were fixing them have contacted them to apologize for what they did, and they've come out as well. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in looking for a therapist, there are a lot of therapists out there, even though there is no psychological organization in the world that believes that
reparative therapy is the way to go.
Right.
Or works in
right.
any way.
Right.
There are still some who cling to that.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have to go through a couple of people, or you already had somebody that
you know,
you've been
I was
to?
So lucky. And I started seeing this woman early in my 20s, mm-hmm. you know, and so I was really lucky. I got a recommendation from a friend that I really respected. So I knew that if she had recommended her, she was probably really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's absolutely wonderful. In fact, it's the one thing I miss the most about not living in San Antonio, because I don't want to start all over here.
Yeah.
I got too much baggage down there, so.
Right, and what's funny is that some of the therapists within the gay community are people who would be most likely to be able to help.
Uh-huh.
They mostly came out early in life. They understand, and they'd be on our side in dealing with somebody mm-hmm. who's in your situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Before we go, Patty, you have a couple of news items that I know you wanted to get to.
Right. One of the things we were just talking about, this reparative therapy, and we had our guests on last week, and we had a great hour with them. But in the news this week is an interesting story about Apple. Speaking of Apple, iTunes and downloading things, there's an app that they've given their full approval to from Exodus International about, you know, basically pray the gay away. And it started off as a small petition, but now over 100,000 people have signed this petition calling Apple to withdraw their approval of this app in their app store.
Have they done it yet?
No, they haven't.
It's still there. One of the big news items that has gone on this week, and I'm saying big news items, this is a gossip column type thing. Do you remember Victoria Jackson? She was this person on Saturday Night Live, and she just suddenly left because she found religion, and she decided she couldn't live in New York and couldn't because it's an evil place. It's where your husband lives, right? so this week on Glee, there was a full-on kiss between two of the main characters, two of the kids in the high school. And they've been building to this for a number of weeks. Well, she came out and she just said that it was just disgusting. And she was interviewed on CNN and she started waving her Bible on CNN. The Bible says so. She's just proven herself once again to be just kind of a nutty.
Have another quick item. A study was out this past week that revealed, it's actually a survey, a poll that showed that Catholics, of all religious varieties out here, Catholics are more supportive of gay and lesbian rights than any other subgroup of the general public. I just find that very interesting.
And it is interesting, and it supports, remember we had as our guest last summer, Sister Janine Gramick, who is somebody, she's a Catholic nun, and she's worked supporting gay and lesbian rights for 35 years now. And she was working very specifically at this time with the Maryland legislature to get them to understand, because Maryland has a large Catholic population, to get them to understand that if they vote for same-sex marriage, Catholics are not going to vote against them, because her contention was more Catholics support things like families and family values, which include same-sex families. And that's just a really interesting poll. What are some of the statistics that came out?
Well, nearly three-quarters of Catholics favor either allowing gay and lesbian people to marry, and that was a whopping 43%, mm-hmm. or allowing them to form civil unions at 31%. And only 22% of Catholics say there should be no legal recognition for same-sex couples. Mm-hmm. So that's really very interesting to me. And when you look at the Catholic population around the world, in Latin America, both in North America, South America, and in Europe, the countries that are Catholic are countries that are predominantly Catholic, have support for same-sex marriage.
Well, Spain has same-sex marriage, a predominantly Catholic country. Argentina, Mexico has same-sex marriage. You can only marry in Mexico City, but the Supreme Court ruled that it has to be recognized around the country of Mexico.
I believe Chile has...
They're working on it. Uruguay has civil unions. So it really does...
It's really kind of interesting to me that's
it does bear that
coming
out.
About.
Yesterday I was watching online hearings in Florence Shapiro's committee, Senate committee. They were having hearings about the anti-bullying laws. And Asher Brown's parents and Montana Lance's parents... two of the kids who committed suicide over the last year were there testifying, and the committee was in tears. But it looks like that bill, Wendy Davis, Senator Wendy Davis from Fort Worth, looks like her bill is going to move out of committee and onto the Senate floor. So we'll see.
That's good. If it comes out of committee, it has an obviously a better chance of passing.
Sure, sure.
Another really quick item here, a very interesting bill that's now in our state legislature. Is a bill that basically removes an item from law for the trans community. Right now, a person who's transgender and has had a gender marker change can get married in the state of Texas. We follow the Littleton case mm-hmm. out of San Antonio and others, because the Texas looks at your chromosomes. Mm-hmm. And so a transgender woman could marry another woman. And this particular bill, SB 723 from Tommy Williams out of the Woodlands, wants to remove a court-ordered sex change from the list of documents that can be used to prove identity when applying for a marriage license. Mm-hmm. So this is really very spiteful.
And there's also a new bill that was introduced last week. It's a non-discrimination bill, so that you cannot discriminate against creationists.
Gotcha.
I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. Our guest today was Connie Marshall. Connie, thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you for having me.
Your group, the Straight 7 a.m. cannot say this.
I'll get it. Straight Spouse Support Network.
We'll be meeting at North Haven United Methodist Church April 12th. You can find more information about it. We'll put it on our website.
Right. And if I can add, there's also an email address on there. It's SSNDallas@hotmail.com. If you've got any questions and would like to talk, email me directly about anything.
We'll get all that up on our website.
Great, great.
Again, that's SSNDallas@hotmail.com.
Thank you for listening to the KNON Morning Line. We'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.